All right, and welcome to another Beer for Breakfast program. My name is Jason Mahoney, and we've got some very special guests with us today on the podcast. Two people who have done a very great job with the brand new property. I guess I can't say it's brand new anymore. You guys have been open, what, 2-3 years now?
So we opened in April of 2016. Beer House actually serves American pub food, including brats, sandwiches, and bar bites. And we feature a world-class list of over 80 beers, including local and regional variety.
How do you guys choose? How do you curate your list that you have at Beer House? Because when you have 80 different styles in a restaurant, that's hard to keep up with. Is that a collaboration between you, Lee, and you, Mike? Or do you have a Cicerone on staff or somebody? And also, we'll get into the stuff about the Cicerones in a little bit, but how do you come about creating that large list that you guys have at Beer House?
So we actually just talked to a lot of the distributors that are out in here in Las Vegas, and anything that's up and coming, trending beers, we just kind of go after what's new in the market.
Okay. Well, one of the things we like to do here on the Beer for Breakfast podcast is, if you've got the name Beer for Breakfast, it is breakfast time. I think we should bust out some of the beers that you have brought for us today. So can you tell us a little bit about the beers that you brought? And let's pour a couple of those up and enjoy some.
Absolutely. So what we're going to start with is an Augustiner Edelstoff, and it is one of Germany's beers.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually still goes true with the Rheinheitsgebot, which is a German beer purity law back in 1516.
Or like four ingredients that you can use.
Four ingredients, yeah. That is right. So we're going to taste that this morning.
We'll grab it. Let's pour it up. And it'll be great. And while Mike is grabbing that, we'll talk about one of the reasons why we're going to be featuring these German beers. That's because Oktoberfest is taking place over at the park this Friday, September 20th, and Saturday, September 21st, and next Friday, September 27th, and Saturday, September 28th. That's going on from noon until 6 p.m. You've been doing this Oktoberfest over in that area for a couple of years now. I don't know if this is the second or the third year.
Third.
This will be the third. So, like, right out the gate, you just started with how can you not?
With a name like Beer House, you need to.
You need to celebrate one of the biggest beer holidays. And the best part about Oktoberfest, it's an entire month long.
Exactly. And it starts in September, so you have a big excuse to extend.
It's more than a month long.
Yes.
So let's talk about the event that is going to be taking place, Oktoberfest. Lots of beers are going to be going to be offered up there, but tickets, one of the most reasonably priced tickets for a beer fest I've ever seen, only $3 to get in.
Correct. No entry fee. It is about...
There is no entry fee. Okay.
Free to travel at the park. The best part about it is it's a $3 ticket value that you can trade in for the beers that you have selected that you want to try.
I gotcha. Okay. That's even better.
Correct.
I love that. I love when places... because there's nothing worse than when you go to a beer fest and then you feel like you're getting screwed. And that is not what's going to be going on this Friday, this Saturday, and next Friday and next Saturday to celebrate down there at Beer House, out down there at the park. So this beer, I will just be honest, Mike, I have never had this beer in my entire life.
Oh,
we're looking at, again, Augustiner. How do you pronounce this again? Because my German reading is not really that great.
Neither is mine. Augustiner Edelstoff.
Okay.
And it is a Helles lager.
And we're looking at 5.7% alcohol by volume. Looking at this beer, I mean, you're just like lots of nice tiny carbonation in there. Just completely clear. Just a beautiful looking like golden clear straw yellow. Didn't have a huge nose on it when you poured it, but you definitely get the grains in the nose. Not a whole lot of alcohol in there as well. But, cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for bringing some of this beer. And is it the only beer that we're going to be doing today, or do we have several others?
No, actually, I have a Schonraumer.
Okay.
Another Munich
Are these
beer.
Beers that are going to be, or that are you have at Beer House year round, or is this a special that you're just bringing out for the Oktoberfest?
No, these beers we actually carry year round.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So if I like this, I can come down there and continue to enjoy it. And I feel like lagers kind of get the, I don't know if in your experience running Beer House, but like how are your lager sales? Like, because right now the new hotness in the craft beer world for the last couple of years was the hazies, and now we're seeing a little, I don't know how well the brutes are selling there. I think they were trying to make the brute IPAs sell, but they're just not as fun to drink. So you still see a lot of hazies. You see a lot of distributors. You see a lot of breweries that are just putting out hazies left and right. But how are your lager sales down there at Beer House?
Well, lager sales are actually great. Bud Light being one of the... a traditional lager is brewed as well.
Like the biggest selling beer in America?
Absolutely. You know, so that does help a lot of the sales there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Big Dog's Lager, another local favorite.
Which you guys support as well.
Absolutely.
I love that.
We have on tap year round.
Dave and the guys over there, Big Dogs, they really do it. And I love seeing that there are properties down on the strip, you know, I mean, that are tied in with these mega billion-dollar corporations that are supporting local beer breweries here in Las Vegas. And no better guys than the guys over at. If you actually look right there, I don't know how long you guys have been in town.
89.
So you know that they have been, I mean, before they were Big Dogs, it was Holy Cow. So
I know him well.
That is a little piece of nostalgia that we have here in the Beer for Breakfast podcast studio. They brought that, I think, right after Dave started working there when he came over from Chicago Brewing. He brought that as a gift, and we keep that in here. Love that little piece of Las Vegas nostalgia and history. You know, I mean, they have a long, long history here in Las Vegas, and like I said, I love seeing that. Awesome establishments are also supporting local craft beer. But one of the things I haven't done yet, I haven't taken a drink of this fantastic lager yet. So we'll find out if it's fantastic or not. I like the bottle, though. I love how German lagers look. You know, the foil, like you've got the Francis Connor, even though, you know, it's like with the gold. That was one of the very first craft beers that I ever had a chance to really get into. It was my favorite. Their Hef for many, 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 many years was my absolute favorite beer about 20 years ago. So, big fan of the German packaging when it comes to their bottles.
We'll stop in the next couple of weeks because we will be pouring the Franz & Connor Hefeweizen down there.
I love it. You know, you pour that with I know there's a lot of people out there who, when it comes to craft beer, that is a nice crisp lager.
Absolutely.
It just kind of get nice little bite on the tongue. It doesn't, just not watery. It's a lager with bite.
Absolutely. Nice, light, crisp.
Yes. But not like, because sometimes there's some lagers that are just summertime lagers, and this one definitely not something that we're looking at. That is a year round. That is a lager with bite. I like it. What do you, what's the price on something like that? What are we, like $5, $6? 7, 8, 9, 10. Not one of those crazy service charges that they're throwing out there.
$10.
$10? Not too bad.
Bucks.
Yeah.
We provide value, and we know that we're the only locals bar really on the strip.
Yeah. You're coming down to support the Golden Knights, one of my favorite things that I have seen from Beer House is that your little sign out front. You know, it's like that's the best marketing that you could do out there. Is that all you, Lee?
I'll take the blame.
Okay,
I plead the fifth.
I swear. Every time there's a game and I have friends go down there, everybody, even if they stop in or they not, they always take a picture of that. That's one of the best things. That if you've got an establishment with a nice whiteboard out front that has good sayings or something funny on there, or you're making player specific drinks or specials like that. That is one of my favorite things that I see on social media these days.
Hear.
Love that. So Francis Connor's going to be down there. You said over the next couple weeks.
Next couple of weekends, yeah. Like you spoke to, the 20th, 21st, and then the 27th and 28th.
I love it. And like I said, we've never featured. Oh God, I mean, it's been. I don't know if we've done it here because we've been doing the Beer for Breakfast podcast for 11 years now, and I think it was one of the ones that I did back in like 2008. So it's been over a decade since we featured a Francis Connor because it was one of those very first ones that just, you know, always held a special place in my part. The event going to be open to tickets or open to the public. Are you able to bring, if we got a family down there, are we able to bring children and those sorts of, and small people and dogs and cats and llamas and,
yes, absolutely.
And whatever our support animal of choice may be down to drink in that area? Because it's a pretty big setup that you guys got going on, right?
Agreed. It really is a family destination. It is a place you can bring your dog on leash.
Yeah.
You can bring your kids, not on leash.
Well,
but children are welcome.
My mom carried like back before it was even fashionable with the little bungee ones. Oh,
I
yeah.
can imagine with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, families are what support us in our park. That it's a big part of what we do. And they're always welcome at Beer House. There's food for kids, there's drinks for kids. There's plenty to offer for those that may not understand beer or like beer. We have plenty of other offerings at Beer House.
If I don't like because my wife, she doesn't drink. She's never had a drink in her life. Which
understood.
Is, and she comes in, and what would you recommend? What is your favorite menu item that you guys have down there that I can use to draw her into Beer House other than the 80 beers selection that you have for me? What can I use to tell her why we should go down to Beer House for Oktoberfest this Friday and Saturday and next Friday and Saturday?
I wonder if she'd be a fan of our German schnitzel.
I mean,
our pork schnitzel sandwich.
I mean, I'm a fan of
it. It's amazing. I don't know if she has any, she's vegan, vegetarian, or has any restrictions, but that pork schnitzel sandwich will be to die for with the apple slaw. That is our Chef Randy's special. He's been serving it now for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think someday it needs to venture onto our permanent menu.
Oh, really? So it's more of a, just for Oktoberfest?
Absolutely. Very German tradition, with schnitzel. And it, no matter, it's always pork, but this is made into a sandwich that you can carry around, eat with you, great value on it. Even whatever we have in Beer House, maybe that your wife might enjoy, mm-hmm. everything from the Impossible Burger to our house.
I love the Impossible Burger.
We have it. We're one of the first to launch it. So.
How did they do that with that? It's unbelievable. In a blind taste test, certainly can't tell that's not real meat.
Right.
So was a vegetarian for a couple years myself, and blown away every time I would eat one. I'm like, how is this not real meat? So I love to see that you guys are being incredibly inclusive for all sorts of dietary needs and restrictions, that sort of thing down there at Beer House. Also, some of the things that are going to be going down at Oktoberfest, you're going to have the beer tents, tastings, games, live entertainment, face painting for the kids or mm-hmm. the adults too, and portable bars and more. Like I said, this is going to be going on down there Friday and Saturday this week and next week as well. With food and drink tickets, you get what, 1 to 4? What is that? So for pricing for the event, it's $3 per ticket. Mm-hmm. And with food and drinks, so all the beers and or food are going to be between 1 and 4 tickets. So very reasonably priced there. I see you've grabbed another beer. This looks like a Pilsner. What do we have here, Mike?
This is Schönrammer, another Munich, Germany beer. Brewed right there. So it's at 5.5 ABV, and it is a big, nice big one. It's a 16.9.
That is a big beer. That is a big beer.
16.9 ounces. Nice, clean, classic beer again.
One of the crazy things, though, that like with having beers like this that you can't really get anywhere else in town, is that they, you got to be working with all the distributors in town. Like the big, obviously we know what the big guys got, but like to find stuff like this, who are you going through? Some of the smaller distributors in town, or do you have some? Oh, I was going to say not gray market, because obviously we're not doing any of that around here.
Well, we're fortunate to have a great resource at corporate.
Yeah.
And Craig Shetler, our mm-hmm. partner, but we also, our vendors are our customers as well. And we're exposed to everyone from the small guy to the big macro brews. So Mike does a tremendous amount of research and of course tasting.
Well, you gotta, I mean, that's part of it. If you're not in consuming the product,
right.
I mean, who knows? You don't want to take somebody else's word for it.
No, drink what you love, right? Love what you drink.
Absolutely.
That's Mike's motto, I think. When you ask him what his favorite beer is.
Well, let's talk about that here. One of the rules on Beer for Breakfast that we have is whenever we have a new guest, and like I said, this is your first time coming on the Beer for Breakfast podcast. We like to get a little deep dive into your beer drinking history, your craft beer specifically, because we like to focus on that. Do you remember the first craft beer that made you go, damn, like and kind of got you into beer as a whole? Because I think when we're all young, we experience those awful beers, especially, 20, 30 years ago when we're drinking just garbage stuff that was left in our dad's garage that he would only bust out when he was mowing the lawn and, was skunky as hell. But do you remember, Mike, do you remember the very first craft beer that you had that kind of opened up your world to the new new age of craft beer?
No, actually, I don't.
Really?
No way. I try so many different beers from all over the world that I haven't even found my favorite yet.
I like that.
Every single day, everybody kind of asks me, what's your favorite beer, Mike? And I'm like, the one in my hand. And hopefully I haven't found it yet.
The one that's cold, the one that's wet?
Absolutely.
And the one that's nearby. I like that. I haven't found my favorite beer yet. I may have to steal it. Lee, do you remember the first like craft beer that you had? Do you have any memory of the very first craft beer that made you go, wow, there's different stuff out there besides lagers?
Given my life experience, mm-hmm. I'm very fortunate to have experienced some amazing beer. My dad was a military, so I was born in Germany, and beer was always on the table. It wasn't restricted in our house. We just drank it at will. Didn't drink a lot of it because at that age I preferred milk. However, moving to the States and traveling all over, I was exposed to amazing beer. I basically grew up in Colorado from the time I was 13. So the craft movement, it wasn't even called the craft movement. It was people brewing beer in their bathtub.
Homebrew
literally.
Before, yeah.
Yes,
homebrew
it was.
Before
it was called brewers.
Before called homebrew, yeah.
Yeah, so some of my very favorites, which you might find not typical, are porters and stouts. Those are some of the best beers I ever drank. My mom's the Irish side, so I automatically knew what a Guinness was. However, when I moved to Las Vegas, craft beer, the beer trend has always been prominent mm-hmm. with me. I was very fortunate, speaking of Dave, you know, and Big Dogs, to have a collaboration with them because I was fortunate enough to open Tenaya Creek in 1999.
How do I not know this?
Yeah, I know. I fly under the radar.
We never get – well, Tim will never come in either, yeah. but
– Tim, you won't get to talk on the radio.
But we always get Anthony in.
You will. And love Anthony. So those are two extremely talented guys.
How did I not know that? Yeah. I love that.
And Tim, the best experience I have and recalling, and we carry Tenaya as well.
Another staple of
exactly.
the Las Vegas craft community.
As soon as I opened tap at MGM Grand, Tenaya Creek was one of the first beers we put on. Tim's Nut Brown Ale at the time was by far my favorite beer. I think I tell Mike that all the time. So I love the Nut Brown Ale. That's my number one memory for beer.
I love that yeah. so much. Craft House, Big Dogs and Tenaya mm-hmm. Creek. I mean, when you think of Las Vegas craft beer that has, mm-hmm. you know, really done very well for itself. And those are two of the ones. And, you know, I love the guys at Tenaya Creek. My normal co-host for the Beer for Breakfast podcast, literally, that is her home away from home. I don't know if you ever have met Pam Hewitt or not. She's a good friend of Tim's and all the guys mm-hmm. down there. But I love that. I love the new facility that they've mm-hmm. they've moved into, the tasting room, and no they have no gaming in there too, which is
right.
you know, kind of an anomaly for Las Vegas. And you know, they've made it work, and you continue to see the expansion. And I think that all falls back on good brewing and good ethos as a company as well. And I love that you guys are supporting mm-hmm. Tenaya Creek as well down there at Beer House.
That's absolutely
that is awesome. Love that. Like I said, we keep twisting Tim's arm. He's like, no, come down to the brewery and do it there. I'm like, it's a lot harder to do that than you guys come in here and drink with us. So Mike has poured me another beer, and this one we are looking at a Pilsner. Which one is this?
This one is Schaumrahmer.
Schaumrahmer.
Schaumrahmer Pilsner. It's only at 5.5 ABV.
Again, very clean nose, a little bit hazier than the previous lager that we drank. But again, I feel like Pilsners are starting to make a comeback as well. I feel like that's another one of those kind of forgotten styles that people just, you know, just kind of overlooked for many, many years. And when you drink a good Pilsner, you realize just how clean, how refreshing. If I walk into a brewery, the litmus test that for me is I go straight for the lager, I go straight for the pils, because if you can't hide impurities behind lagers, you can't hide them behind pilsners either. Some of these stuff, you know, some of the sours, you know, I have a theory that sours are just bad batches for some of the breweries that are out there. But looking, you know, again, a straight German pilsner. Looking forward to tearing this one. That is available. This one is year-round again, also
year-round.
There at Beer House?
Yes.
Very light, very refreshing, not quite as carbonated as the other one. Again, another really good mouthfeel and a lot of flavor. And I think that's one of the keys that, like, you forget that these beers that, even though it's not, you're not looking at like 10% or, you know, this isn't a triple IPA and your taste buds need to be burned off. There's a good hop presence in there. It's not the super piney hops that you're going to get, but it's a nice presence that certainly tickles your tongue as you drink it. So another really good beer there. Let's talk a little bit more about Oktoberfest, again, happening this Friday, September 20th, Saturday, September 21st, and next Friday, September 27th and September 28th. As Lee pointed out, it is free for everybody to come down there, check that out. You can buy tickets. Do you have to buy, can you buy, like, do I have to buy, like, a pack of 20 tickets, or can we just go individually
on
these?
No, you can just buy individual tickets. One sample is going to be that value of one ticket, $3.
Okay.
And you can go up there and redeem as many tastes as you want from any tent.
I love that so much. And again, going to be fun for the whole family down there. One couple things I want to ask you before I let you get out of here this morning. What's the future? You know, so we've got Oktoberfest coming up for Beer House. What do we have to look forward to coming up in 2020?
I think our big focus is to capitalize on what we've been doing all year long to make, say, this Oktoberfest event become our annual event that we own. And give people that reason to come down as a local and make it special. It's a great value with nothing over $12.
Nothing over $12?
No, you won't find anything over 12. So it's a great value. And it is, like I said, family friendly. And there's plenty of seating. It's outdoors in a beautiful park. There's nowhere else on the strip that you can do that, under the trees, in the shade, with amazing entertainment. So we want to make this in 2020 our big event every year.
And one of my favorite things, like I said, you guys being right next to Park. Park has really, done a complete 180. I mean, a 360 overhaul on the on that property since it was the Monte Carlo. It's one of my favorite places to go in town. We did our Christmas show there last Christmas time around back in December, and that was a phenomenal night. And I just saw Back in Cage the Elephant. So if you've never been to the park, yep. Went to that show too?
I was there, yeah.
How awesome was that show?
It was amazing.
Did you see Spoon, though? Did you see Spoon?
I didn't. I came in at the end of Spoon.
I thought Spoon was the best. I mean, Beck was amazing. Cage the Elephant was amazing. But Spoon completely blew that room out of there. So, like, if you haven't had a chance to go see any of the shows that they're putting into that room, it's phenomenal down there. A lot of the restaurants in there, and I'm a sucker because right near the parking garage, they got the Willy Wonka, and that is... That is the bane of my existence. I may have paid to single-handedly build a beer house.
Good.
and a couple of the other establishments that they have in there with Willy Wonka. I got to hear Pure Imagination. I got to get to the bonus round. I got to hear Pure Imagination every single time I go down there. Oh yeah, it is something to be to behold when I get on a tear one of those. But Mike, thank you guys for coming in and joining us this morning on Beer for Breakfast. Or do we have any more beers?
No more beers.
No more beers. Okay. You don't want to get me that drunk.
No, you got to come check them out.
Well, you have over 80 beers including local and regional varieties. Like I said, supporting Big Dog, supporting Tanea. Any other locals, or are those the two?
Love Lady.
We actually have 10 beers, yeah. 10 local beers on tap.
Really?
Yes.
So Love Lady, those guys are great down there too.
We love those guys.
I the craft scene in Las Vegas, it's on its way up. You know, we're growing, and I love seeing awesome companies support other awesome companies. So if you have a chance, take the whole family down to Oktoberfest happening this Friday and Saturday, and next Friday the 27th and Saturday the 28th from noon until 6. Stop into Beer House anytime, especially if you're going to a VGK game. You know, there's no better place to grab a beer beforehand as well. But Lee and Mike from Beer House, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
This has been a Beer for Breakfast podcast.